Area 941 podcast are produced and distributed by Community Powered 94.1 KPFA Radio. Please help support Area 941 at kpfa.org.
And we're back live, coming to you on Super Bowl Sunday.
That's
from
right.
Bernal Heights.
What's his name? Tom Brady keeps calling me. You know, I said, come on, Tom, you can deflate my balls anytime. I want to see fucking Lady Gaga and Beyonce is pregnant. I mean, these are pressing issues. Yeah. All right. We'll see what's going to happen. But there's been a lot in San Francisco, Sacramento, and Washington, as we know. Housing. Apparently, Chu and Wiener, who have never been great advocates, and I think Wiener has a very destructive bill, were invited to come to a housing meeting yesterday. And, you know, kind of were slick willies and
never
really answered a question.
No, but they're very good at this.
You know, I think they're worried, too, that they're going to be challenged.
They deflected all the questions, and they came off as, we are the housing leaders in Sacramento. Chu said he's the number one fan and supporter of affordable housing and tenants' rights. And, you know, I wasn't on the panel. I would have said, well, how many tenants have lost their homes because of your Airbnb legislation?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We need to really educate ourselves and the people who support us to, you know, give a lot more to scrutiny, not buy the bullshit. If you're hung up about keeping order or whatever, that's fine. Those are real questions that deserve real answers.
Right,
and you're not going to get it from these two guys. I think Chu has a thing about, I'm going to champion the immigration for tenants. Where the hell were you 5 years ago, 10 years ago? This is the same guy who said, maybe we should look at the affirmative action policy. This is the same guy who said, we don't need to do anything about Trump yet. Let's wait and see.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, you know, he's Albert Schweitzer welcoming the poor.
You know, and it's hard. I mean, you were up in Sacramento. You know, there's so little good press coverage of our local delegation.
I wish. Unless you're John Diaz from the Chronicle, and then all you do is trash.
I wish we had the money to put a full-time 48 Hills reporter up there to just actually pay attention to what all these guys are doing.
Well,
I mean, that's one of the challenges. How do you educate yourself when you got to go back and
look at Leland Yee?
Yeah.
Yeah. He hermited himself in his office.
Right.
But, Leland's nice, and he did this, and he did
that. Yeah, and we didn't know what was going on.
No. So, anyway, that's a real education,
yep.
You know, that we can't buy into the bullshit and action. Speaking of action, it looks like the guy from Uber had a come-to-Jesus moment. But
yep.
Now he's not supporting
After he started losing a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. We call it enlightened self-interest, don't we? Watch it. And another thing that's happening that's kind of exciting is the ending bail movement, which, you know, one of my colleagues actually was a bail bondsman. And, you know, he would try to float these bills through public safety. And I go, this is a conflict of interest, you know, and then they would parse it so it wasn't. But anyway, I'm hoping it's Hillary Ronan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, the fact is,
it's fabulous.
If you go down to county jail, more than 75% of the people in county jail have not been convicted of anything. They're there because they can't afford bail. And that means they're there because they're poor. Because if a rich person gets accused of a crime, unless it's like some heinous murder charge, they're out on bail.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And these people who are arrested, they may be completely innocent, but they lose their homes, they lose their jobs, they lose custody of their kids, just because they're not rich enough to afford bail. It's a real serious problem that we need to take on. So I'm really glad to see that Hillary Ronan's doing that.
It's a scam. It's a business. And, the recognition of it is very heartening because, you know, people used to kind of gloss over that kind of issue. So, and what else is happening? The transgender district, I'm very supportive of the idea. I remember years ago at a place called The Shed, which was an after-hours place off 16th and Market. This was in the 70s. There were a number of younger transgender people. Harvey Milk sometimes would be there, at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in the morning. And we really got sensitized to the issue because we didn't know a lot, you know, about the issue. And many of them were forced to have really botched surgeries in people's garages. I can't go on. You know, they didn't have the means either. And of course, the medical profession was very, very obstinate about this was a psychiatric disorder. So, you know, tracing that history till today and having that press conference with Supervisor Kim and others, you know, it actually, in the days of darkness and Trumpian gloom, we actually all felt positive for that half hour, mm-hmm. you know.
And, you know, I just think it's important to recognize that while, yes, Jane Kim was there, and I'm really happy she's doing this. This was the result of the activists. This was the result
Janetta
and Brian Basinger and Nate Albee and
Stephanie.
Yep, all the people who came together to say, wait a minute, no, you cannot. We are not going to let you tear down two sites that have historic significance and build these fancy new projects unless you help us with this.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. I mean, the developer would never have come through with that money, and Jane would not have been pushed to do this if it wasn't for the trans activists and their supporters who pushed for this. And that's an important lesson to learn. It's you know, Scott Wiener's got this bill that's going to make it easier to develop market-rate housing. But it's because activists come together and say, we're going to oppose your housing, that we get some of the deals that we get.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of it is lip service, too. And, you know, like I said, people get bought out or they silo stuff. So they go, oh, well, all right, we got a transgender district. No. What about health care? You know, what about housing? What about law enforcement? There's so many dots to connect. And a lot of times people do this ping pong thing, you know, where they'll support something that the LGBT community likes. You know, let's have insurance cover AIDS consequences, you know, with the disfiguring things that happen through medicine. But then at the same time, you know, they'll float housing bills or other kinds of bills that don't recognize that there's people who have AIDS who are poor, who are disenfranchised. It makes me sick, you know. It's a strategy that's worked for a lot of the hacks that we have to deal with. But I think, and who said merely? I did not. no, again, you know, my mantra, you know, it's not enough to be against Trump. You know, give me a break.
You have to be against Trump's policies at home.
By the way,
that's the difference. You have to say that we are against the corporatist approach that Trump has in Washington that unfortunately some Democrats have in San Francisco and Sacramento.
Oh, well, I see it. I see it all the time. Let's see who's going to put their neck out for single payer.
Yeah.
Because I think there was a obstacle to single payer in Sacramento because of a waiver that wasn't sought. And so somehow the structure in Sacramento doesn't allow it because of Obamacare at the time to really be discussed and put, you know, forward. So I think I think Don Belcher and Tom Gallagher, they could educate us more. But I think that waiver is now
admitted,
and so that we should have a bill about single payer.
Well, that's
who's going to do it?
That's what the California Nurses Association is saying. Hey, if they're going to attack Obamacare, sure, we defend Obamacare, but let's move forward and let's do single payer in California. And that's what people are talking about now, and it's a really good sign.
I wrote an op-ed with the Evolve people about Prop 13, how neither the mayor nor the governor discussed reform of Prop 13, as they're saying they're going to defend Sanctuary City, and in the mayor's case, the governor's case, the Trust Act. However, you know, I hate to put it so, they're looking at a gift horse in the mouth here. That reform, that closing that loophole, you know, could generate millions and millions. And I think today the LA Times did it. Anyway, I submitted the op-ed, and Lois at the Chronicle said it was too diffuse, and I guess I need to wordsmith it. I think it's an issue that I want to keep fanning the flames about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, why should we turn our back on that?
And, absolutely.
And then it makes you look hypocritical to say I'm going to, you know, withstand these cuts and every Willie Brown notwithstanding, you know, who's now talking about the hit that San Francisco is going to take. Well, you as speaker included that loophole that allows big property owners like Chevron, et cetera, to not have to pay property taxes. So there you are.
So there you are. Well, thank you for listening to the Tom and Tim Show.
Yeah.
And we will be back
Pretty soon, and I want to do a plug for two things. When We Rise will be soon to be televised. You know, it's an eight-hour episodic miniseries about people you know here in San Francisco. Yay! And, of course, I'm doing this show that will not die, Mincing Words. And actually... Aaron Peskin. Aaron Peskin came to the show last night, and I made a joke about the Wizard of Oz and how the house fell on the Wicked Witch, you know, Kellyanne Conway. And then I said, well, in here in San Francisco, we have a different script. The Millennial Tower landed on Aaron Peskin. All right.
All right. Boom. We'll see you next week.